This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
He doesn't need to hear that here right before his wedding.
Exactly.
But that's what goes down.
If she does step up.
Better pick yourself up.
And go 60, 40, 70, 30. She's going to remind you that she did that every waking day for the rest of your life.
I just saw Kay Michelle. She don't like to see a man crying.
Oh, Kay Michelle's not into that?
She feels more insecure when she sees him crying. That's what I'm talking about. You expect your woman to pick you up when you're crying. Sometimes they don't want to see that.
She's shaming me.
Understand what I'm saying?
She's shaming me for having emotion.
It's as the yang to your yin, whatever, that she's there to pick you up sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes it might be a turnoff.
Well,
you try to open up and show how vulnerable you are.
Very,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very.
Now that's real.
No, that's Kay Michelle being. You know,
I'm just saying that's how she feels. So you.
I'm not married to Kay Michelle.
You can't knock how she feels about that.
I feel like men should be allowed to show emotion and not be viewed as weak.
I'm just saying you got to be careful that you pick the right woman that you can cry in front of,
mm-hmm.
and she's not going to hold it against you.
Mm-hmm.
So you be careful.
Yeah, listen.
Understand?
I think, again, that's the...
Again, you're going to take L's in marriage as the man. Just be prepared for it.
It's just...
Like you said, don't try to fight back. Just succumb.
I don't think I said that.
That's what you said.
I didn't say don't try to fight back.
You said it ain't worth it.
You said
there's no... just pick your... You said a version of that. You said pick your battles.
Right.
Most of them, you're going to take the... She's going to get the last word.
Right.
Even if you're right.
No,
that's how it goes. If you want to keep her happy...
Right. You just say, okay... Whatever. Or as if people say, yes, dear. Yeah, like that's what people say. Just say yes, dear.
Let me tell you something the other day. My wife had already eaten. Chris and I, we stop at Taco Bell because he likes the cheesy potatoes that they got.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had them.
Which are fire, yeah.
Okay. I know that my wife likes Taco Supremes, no tomato, add the jalapeno. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to ask her. I'm just going to bring them home. Right? I bring them home to her. Hadn't asked. It's like bringing her flowers. Oh, you're so considerate. All right? Fast forward to last night.
Mm-hmm.
My wife can't get the tire sign off on her new Volkswagen. It says, once you've had your tires back aired up, you got to reset that little sign, that little signal there on your dashboard.
Right, 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 right.
She couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
Okay? I said last night, I said, you're like an old lady. You had instructions from Volkswagen right here. You couldn't. What'd she tell me? She said, you're so inconsiderate. She gets up and walks out of the room. I said, last night you were just loving on me in them damn tacos and saying what a great husband I was. Now I'm inconsiderate. Which one is it?
That's why I said.
I said, you really, that was a joke about you being a little, but again, women, you know, late 40s, 50s, they start feeling a certain kind of way about that. And you got to be careful what you say. That's why I say,
right.
You're always going to take the L, bro. Even when you win one day, you're going to be a loser the next day or not taking care of
but
whatever.
See, that's like,
you understand
that was like
what I'm
a throwaway
saying?
Joke so be ready line, to pick, though, bro.
Just took it way too far.
Right.
Exactly. But women in their age, sometimes, again, she thought it was inappropriate. I was clearly smiling and laughing, you know. I like to have a sense of humor in the home.
Ideally.
It lightens things up.
Right.
Can't even do that around old Faith.
See, that's what we picked a bad day to ask Jay Smooth for marriage advice.
That's why you asked me that.
Yeah, I mean, this is just...
It's not the day for it to give to Drew.
I mean, that's your
but
sort
that's,
of...
That's the lie. That's marriage.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You think you really got it going on one night.
Mm.
You really got it licked.
More to do. More to do,
watch
brother.
Watch what you say.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's what I would say to Drew. Is like, you can handle it like Jason, just air all of it on the radio. I mean, that's, you know, that is sort of, that's your way of, that's your therapy, you know.
That's right.
And somehow it never gets back to Faith.
Well, she's at school.
Exactly. Yeah. You're safe.
She doesn't hear
this is a safe space.
It is. It's a bit of a, it relieves the stress.
There you go.
You are, you know, you're my venting board.
Absolutely.
I can vent it out to you and and then be done with it. I can let it go at home.
No, because
you have to.
Dude, no doubt. You just have
that's
to,
what you can't do. You gotta, carry it day to day.
Exactly.
It's gonna get real ugly up in there.
But you have to have a way to
cave.
To express it. You know what I mean? Because if you hold it, it will come up again in the form of something that's completely unrelated, right? It'll be like
she took it as if I was calling her dumb, man. And again,
exactly.
Getting way more. No,
right.
Didn't mean that at all. It's a little joke.
It's a joke.
You know, the dumb old lady.
Right.
That's how she took it.
Exactly.
But see, it doesn't matter how it came from you.
It's how
that's what received it. That's what Drew has to know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hey,
you tell him. Tell him after the wedding.
It's complicated. It's all complicated. We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John on Eternal FM ESPN.
Every around this time we do the rundown, let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
What are the biggest stories of the day? I guess we'll start with the opening at Kentucky as it remains open. Scott Drew said, nah, I'm good. Nah, thanks, but no thanks. So he's staying at Baylor. I assume he got a big raise out of it. You know, if he was making 5.1, I'm sure they could get him up to 6.
Yeah, so much for those reports, too, that they had already, reached out about Grant McCaslin. You see those?
Oh, really?
Or if Scott Drew had, yeah, those reports were out there.
I did not see that.
Who's at, where's Texas Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, from North Texas.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that would have made sense, but they don't.
I don't know how real those reports were, yes, but.
I'm sure, like, you have.
John and I were always on the page.
Some surface level understanding of if this happened, where you might go or if they would be interested.
Got to do your due diligence.
But again, not a problem for the Baylor Bears. As Scott Drew has said, he's going to stay. And look, I think it's a lesson. We talked about this yesterday. You know, if you're happy at a place and you have kids that are happy, at their school with their friend groups, it's a lot to, and I gathered that was the primary piece of it. It was not Scott Drew, but his family.
Mm-hmm.
His family did not want to go.
Saw Goodman put that on there.
Yeah. And I think you can understand why, you're happy. You have friends at a certain place. You're not going to go,
Do you believe the reports that they had flown to Lexington, though, that family had been in Lexington, that it had gotten that deep where family is there?
I don't know. That seemed weird to me that you would go without Scott Drew.
Right,
you would go by yourself.
Right. That was a weird report as well.
I mean, I guess anything can happen, but it wouldn't really make sense to me. So I can see a world, though, where, you say, Dad, We love our friends here. We love our community here. Why would you, you can do everything you want to do here. Why are we going to Kentucky for what?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to start over. We don't want to leave our, and I guess they could stay back, They could always.
I mentioned that yesterday as a possibility.
But they don't want to.
You're rich.
They don't want to do that. That's hard, You want to be with your dad. You want to be at his games. You want to, do all that.
I want to be at that, yeah. How much is dad there, though, during the season?
He's there a lot.
They're at his games,
to your point. He's there a lot.
What makes it convenient is they are with him.
Yes, exactly. But he's there, bro. He's there. All right.
That's tough. You know that.
Oh, it is. It is. But
basketball coach.
I just feel like it's a lesson that if happiness when you have enough money is always gonna win over potentially compromising it for just more money. Because there's nothing that Kentucky implicitly offers in 2024 that Baylor can't. If you have the money for NIL, which I assume he negotiated. If you have the contract salary for yourself, which I assume he negotiated. Might as well just stay where you're at.
If Kentucky is not a situation where a coach can go in there and have all of the NIL he wants and needs, and frankly, you have it there waiting for him because that's what these top-tier coaches are going to want. It's what Cal's got at Arkansas now and apparently what he felt like he didn't have at Kentucky. They make the coach go do it as a responsibility. And I can understand Kentucky. There's a part of me that gets it too now because Cal wasn't winning at the clip that he needed to for how he was being compensated. I get it. I mean, you're the coach. Go out and raise your own NIL. That's, again, this world's getting away from us now in terms of some of these coaches that don't want to adapt and understand. Listen, maybe in some cases some ADs that, look, you've got to have this if you're going to compete at the highest level. You better believe Dan Hurley's getting it.
Yep.
You just saw what Arkansas is prepared to do. This is not just five. Might be between $5 and $7 million that Tyson and those folks are about to provide John. So, again, if my point of this is if you're Scott Drew and Kentucky's wishy-washy about NIL, you're going to put all that on me. You got no plan. That's me coming in there with a plan. That's not what I would consider the bluest of the blue bloods. That's tough. And then I'm coming behind Cal, a guy who, oh, by the way, I didn't want to follow in 09. Because what? It's never good to be it's the old adage, you don't want to be the guy following the guy. And especially in this case, you know, at a blue blood that even if you get to a Final Four, it's not going to be enough. Even if you perhaps win one, they'll tell you you need to win two. I mean, that's the way it is in Kentucky. And so back to your whole point about happiness and everything else, Baylor's going to provide everything you need.
Yep.
You know, familiarity, your family, number to your point, big part of this is happy.
Exactly.
You absolutely don't go. So,
you know, it just matters, man. I mean, and I think, like, the NIL has equalized this stuff.
Barnhart's going to have to ask some questions again about the NIL and about their facilities now.
Yeah, he is.
Because that's what the microscope is on now.
Yeah.
And you got people, you got Cal saying, okay, this was enough for me to go take a. I mean, he's getting less, I know, in bonuses or whatever. He can make money. But he's getting paid less in salary to make that move. Scott Drew doesn't want to come. You got some questions now about whether or not you're willing to compete in this day and age with what you need to do, you know, to stay at the top, you know, in this transfer portal era, in this NIL era. Whether or not he better tell the next coach or whoever they hire that we're going to have something for you, you know, because it's now your business is sort of out there.
There's no doubt.
Especially when you're getting turned down.
And the truth is, you know, you already have suffered a level of humiliation because your top choice said no. But, you know, if you end up with Billy Donovan, it's fine. Well, you end up with Bruce Pearl, it's like, I mean, I know that Drew Hill said, you know, and I agree, like, there might have been a need to part ways, but I would rather keep the coach that maybe it's not perfect with, but he's better and he's more accomplished. Like, I don't really understand, you know, running a guy out for a downgrade seems stupid to me. But I mean, maybe everybody will be recharged and it's just a little easier to, you know. And look, it's true. Like, sometimes when an employer is sort of out on you, which it felt like Mitch Barnhart was out on Cal, didn't want to fire him because of the money that he'd owe him, you know, that he wasn't going to get the things that he needed to get. He wasn't going to be able to. But Bruce Pearl comes in. He's, you know, everybody's got a fresh start. He gets the things you're talking about. I don't know. That seems like a stupid way to do business to me, but maybe that's the way it will go at Kentucky, that he'll get upgrades on those facilities. It'll get the NIL money that he didn't have in the past.
Again, it's going to be hard to recruit at the clip that Cal recruited at, and what those Kentucky folks are going to find out is that it was Cal was the reason those players were coming, not the Kentucky brand.
Yep.
It was Cal. Again, especially if you're not supplying that next guy with NIL and you're telling him, you got to go do it yourself. You go raise that money on your own. You know, Cal could do that because of who he was. There's no promise that the next guy will be able to. I mean, again, Billy Donovan's a name, and he's accomplished college basketball, two-time back-to-backs. We get all that, but hasn't operated in that world either. So you got to be careful here.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss on too many more.
No doubt about that.
You know. You run the risk of it really looking like your program is taking two steps down.
Yeah. Anyway, Kentucky job remains open. Scott Drew says, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay at Baylor.
Next story.
All right, the other big news that broke this morning was John that actually texted me first, and then I went over to TMZ. It was actually OJ's family, OJ Simpson's family, that broke the news, if I'm not mistaken, by putting out a statement on his formerly Twitter, now X profile. But yes, at 76 years old, and I did not realize that O.J. Simpson, I had not kept tabs on him here of late. I know that we had sometimes brought him up on the show, whether it was about his Super Bowl picks or whatever else. I hadn't realized that he was in a battle with cancer, but indeed, according to his family, passed away yesterday after a battle with cancer, was surrounded by children and grandchildren. There's no way to talk about this OJ story without, you know, knowing that you're going to have to go through layers and layers of it. You know, that at one point, a guy that America idolized. I mean, again, having gone from Heisman Trophy winner to 2,000-yard rusher with the Bills, and, you know, you see him on the commercials, and, you know, all of a sudden he's not just commercials. He's, you know, a sideline reporter for NBC, guy they used. He's on the movie screen, you know, not just Naked Gun. He'd been in movies for a while. I mean, he had an acting career. So a guy, you know, you held up, and then, what was it, 1994? I guess I was 17 years old, hadn't turned 18 yet. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's the finals, if I'm not mistaken, too. I think the Knicks and the Houston Rockets were playing. And all of a sudden, there's like this chase on TV, and you find out that OJ's apparently in the car that the cops are after, and it's being driven by one of his former teammates. And it's like, what? And we were, remember being in our little Midtown apartment back then and watching it there on the floor of our living room and just being glued to it. And really, it was, are we about to witness like a suicide on national television? Because remember, that's what OJ was telling, you know, authorities, was that he was going to commit suicide in this truck, in this white Bronco that literally became a phrase that all of America, you know, was familiar with. Just, you know, it was sort of, you know, you were like in a dream almost. You couldn't believe that this was happening. And what, O.J. Simpson, the guy we've all idolized and held up and everything else, like wanted for murder? And
yeah.
You know, and so it takes you back. Jeff's right. It's one of those moments you remember where you are. I think, too, the trial, obviously, and remember how racially divided in terms of the interest in that trial was and the outcome. Obviously, that was 95, I think October of 95, or around then when it was announced. And that was wild because, again, it felt like, you know, you had white folks that were saying, man, what in the world is happening? You had black folks who were taking pride in the fact that, okay, you know, justice system finally delivered one for us here. And what the more and more you study that trial and what happened during it, the more you realize that the prosecution just absolutely blew it. But back to the point, the entire country, it felt like the entire world was watching. There's all that. There's O.J. getting off. There's O.J. then going to jail. For a situation in Las Vegas where he says he's trying to recoup his property, but he's hired, you know, some mercenaries basically go in there with him and point, you know, he ends up going to jail for that, gets out, and then becomes this, I don't know, this weird almost caricature of himself. I always struggle with that word, but I eventually get it out.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up, just the life. And I'll say this about O.J. Simpson. I'll say this. From what I can tell, man only cared about himself. That's it. For as much as we idolized him and always held him up, and from what I can tell, man only cared about himself. And that goes back to his, I don't know if you know, he was originally married, you know, had a family, moved on, divorced her, moved on, wanted to get the Hollywood life, moves on, all that. But then, you know, with what we know happened, the fact that you would be, you know, with, you know, the mother of your children. Again, you could say, well, you know, well, his kids loved him and all that. You know, his kids didn't have a choice in that instance. And that's their mother, too. And realize you have an issue or whatever with her. But, the fact that here's where I struggle. The fact that that kind of evil could live inside somebody that we held up and thought was so good. Right. You never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
And that has to be some of the story of OJ, like what was behind the, you know, the veil, behind the cover that we all idolized and held up and thought was perfect.
Yeah.
And everything else. Like, it, clearly it was there was a guy that was capable of pure evil.
OJ is such a, I mean,
polarizing. One guy said, well, come on, he's found not guilty. But he's also found guilty, incredibly guilty, in a civil trial.
Correct.
And if the prosecution hadn't blown it in the criminal trial, he would have been found guilty.
I think,
go back and look at some of the evidence. Go back and look at the shoe prints that were left.
He was so obviously guilty.
Go back and look at whose shoes those were, how unique those shoes were. I mean, they're so obviously guilty. And, you know, again, Darden deciding, you know, that he wanted OJ to try to put the glove on was one of the fatal flaws. Even with Furman's, you know, racist background and everything else, there was still a pile of evidence that would have convicted OJ. But again, that visual of OJ not fitting the glove was, so impactful, I think, for that jury that it left you with the shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. I think that's the part of it. Like, it's not really that complicated.
And the way the cops bungled the blood work and
everything,
all that certainly helped too.
I mean, I watched not the 30 for 30, but I watched the American Crime Story FX show with Cuba Gooding and Sterling Brown and Courtney Vance. And
the only one that was bad, and that was Travolta as Shapiro. He was awful.
Right.
The rest of them were great performances.
It was a great.
Including the Marsha Clark performance.
Yeah, Sarah
she
Paulson.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, no, and I think I want to say the 30 for 30 came out shortly after that, or I don't know. But I was OJ'd out at that point. So I have not watched the full length documentary that everybody talks about. It's so good. I'm sure it is. But I don't know. It feels like in terms of American pop culture, there's never been somebody quite like OJ that we just kind of, I don't know, accepted, even though we all knew he was a cold-blooded murderer? I don't know. Weird. Because the justice system exonerated him for that. The jury of his peers exonerated. But it was, like, so obvious that it was him. He did it. Yet, you know, he wrote a book about it called If I Did It. You remember the Tim Meadows cold open on SNL where he did the telestrator with the playbook and he wrote, I did it, as he was talking about, you know, I mean, like, it was just like, it was just, everybody knew and everybody just kind of still went with it, you know? I don't know. It's a.
You're right about our sort of acceptance of it.
I feel bad for the families of, like, you know, of his ex-wife. Nicole Brown and Goldman and Ron Goldman, because, like, I imagine if I were their family.
They said they had a statement that OJ died without penance.
Exactly. And, like, he's still sort of, you know, he benefited from the America machine, you know, and I think that's exactly right, without penance.
Well, their point is he's been hiding assets for a long time.
Yeah.
Stuff that was owed to them off that civil trial.
Yeah. I mean, he never paid the price. I don't know. It's just it's a weird. I can't think of anything else like it, you know, in America. A guy that, you know, again, was a celebrity, was a huge athlete, huge star. So obviously killed two people, was acquitted of that, and, you know, went on to kind of just be still a part of the, you know, American pop culture machine. He would get TMZ headlines. He had big following. I mean, I followed him on Twitter. You know, I mean, I don't know. I it's such a weird thing. It's a weird dynamic, O.J. Simpson. But I don't know if his the victims' families feel, they clearly don't feel any kind of, you know, peace or justice today.
I'm always fascinated by how the kids feel.
Right.
Like how Shara and Lorenzen's kids feel about Shara. And you see that they still love her. In fact, they want her out of prison, you know, because to them, even though she's been found guilty, that's still their mom. And in many ways, I'm sure in what she said to them, they probably feel like, you know, that in some part of their mind, they feel like, okay, I've accepted it. Maybe they think it's justified, whatever, because of what she's told them, whatever else. But then you think about, you know, Nicole's kids here, and I'm sure they love their dad. You know, it says he was surrounded by his family and children. I'm not sure what part of the family, but clearly they still feel a certain love for their dad. And maybe, I don't know, John, it's part of what the human brain and what we're capable of in terms of, you know, going through and recovering from and then loving again, you know. But you know, I'm sure in some way, much like Lorenzen's kids, you know, they still feel a great love for them. Even, you know, maybe they had accepted it, maybe they hadn't. Maybe they'd been telling themselves, no, he's innocent because he was found, you know. But it, you know, if you watch any of those, you know, any of the info about it or read anything about it, it becomes pretty crystal clear what happened. But I'm always fascinated by how, you know, you can understand a tragedy happened, in this case, to someone you love, but then still love the person who committed the murder.
Right, right.
So think about how you know, layered that is in dealing with it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the O.J. Story is one just, again, filled with tragedy. And he left behind, again, victims.
Next story.
All right, so we were talking about the Shohei Ohtani, you know, the I don't know if you want to call it a scandal or whatever you want to call it, but his interpreter is now facing federal charges related to all of that alleged theft of millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani. This is federal charge, right? This isn't Shohei Ohtani saying this. This is a federal charge. New York Times reported yesterday that Ippei Mizuhara is in negotiations to plead guilty and that an investigation is racing towards a conclusion. As we all remember going back, Mizuhara initially said he amassed those huge gambling debts. Ohtani helped him out by wiring the money, $500,000 increments. Hours later, Mizuhara changed the account and said Ohtani had no knowledge of the payments. His attorneys, as we talked about, came back later after those interviews, for the attorneys for Ohtani, and said he had been the victim of a massive theft. Ohtani maintained his innocence throughout all of it. And so now, you know, Mizuhara, who's under investigation by the IRS, Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California. He has been brought forth charges in the amount of $4.5 million, maybe even more money than $4.5 million to pay off these gambling debts. So it does kind of feel like maybe the Ohtani really was had. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why Mizuhara had access to any of that, how he got access to it, but apparently he did.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This was key to me in terms of if we were going to believe Shohei's story, was that there was some more fallout and another shoe to drop in terms of from a legal standpoint with him. If he'd stolen that much money, then you better see something like this as opposed to all of a sudden this guy pops up in on an island and he's got, you know, got all the money in the world, he's taken care of, you know, no jail time whatsoever. That was going to be the key. You know, he can't just be a fall guy. There's got to actually be some sort of, you know, again, criminal, you know, findings here if he's in, if we were to believe the story. Because, again, if he's just a fall guy and he's just all of a sudden you just you don't hear from him, whatever else, there's no jail time, whatever, because he's been taken care of to be the fall guy,
yep,
then that it tells me Shohei was lying. But, again, if you've got real charges here and real possible potential jail time, you know, you don't just have a guy taking the fall, it feels like to me.
Yeah, it's I mean, I guess it's, you know, a validation.
And unless it's just going to be a slap on the wrist and he gets the payout on the other end.
Right. You know.
Because, again, the payout could be so massive
that
to take the fall for Shohei. He certainly got it.
That's true.
That you would be willing.
That's true.
You would be willing to take the rap. I mean,
avoid jail time.
Mob all the time. I mean, that's what the mob used to do. You don't snitch. You'll be taken care of by when you get out.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? So perhaps, depending upon what he's charged with, what that actual, you know, penalty is.
Yep.
Yeah, he could still be a fall guy.
No, he could. You're right. And again, we're talking about a guy that's got, you know, however, $1 billion, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. He could take care of you on the other end, still possibly. If he's doing 10 years, you know, 8 to 10, I'd have a hard time taking that 8 to 10. My price would be way up there.
Yeah.
It'd be what Kentucky's going to have to pay his next coaches, or more than that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, right, if you're going to do that, get him off the hook. But that's the latest, that he's facing federal charges for alleged theft that could total more than $4.5 million.
Next story.
All right, we talked about it yesterday, so we may as well bring up what happened last night. Nikola Jokic proved why he's the MVP, Joe.
Ooh.
And I know you were locked in. We were on opposite sides of this. At that time, I didn't know whether Jamal Murray would play. He did on the second night of a back-to-back. He's still on a men's restriction. Really wasn't as much about Jamal Murray as it was about the going to be three-time MVP, Nikola Jokic. They get the win. It was a battle of two teams tied for first place in the West, the Nuggets and Timberwolves, and they win 116-107. Our boy Jokic had 41 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Just another day at the office for him. 16 of 20 shots. Oh, by the way, that was the NBA's best defense he was playing against last night in Minnesota. I realize Karl-Anthony Towns is out. They've actually been playing well without him. You still got Rudy Gobert, who was getting dunked on all night, it felt like. And you've still got Naz Reid, who has stepped up big time in the loss. So, again, this is still a Minnesota team that's number one in defense. It wasn't like you were playing a scrub out there at Denver last night. And Jokic just tore them apart, showed why it's another level for them. And maybe why it doesn't matter who they see in the playoffs, who they don't see, because they've got the experience. And it shows, because before that game, you know, they went to Jokic before and asked him, well, how big is this one? You know, you want home court throughout the playoffs. You want the one seed. He downplayed. He said, basically saying this ain't a big game. And he's been in big games. But those are playoff games to him now. Those are finals games to him now. And that's typically the sort of, you know, when you get that sort of experience with you, that's the veteran attitude you'll typically have. And then you go out there and you deliver like it's an absolute big game. That's what pros do. That's what MVPs do. And Jokic seems to back it up every single time. Anthony Edwards had 25 points. But for the most part, you know, this game was already decided in the second half. I think Minnesota had the lead at halftime. I was feeling pretty good about my plus 5.5 that we had done.
Yeah.
I think it got up to 6.5, too, by
the
time.
It got up to 7.5.
What did they end up losing? About 9? What did I say? 116, 107?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, end up on the wrong side of that. Denver, clearly, the most experienced team, and when it comes down to it, you know, probably going to be the one that comes out of the West.
Dude, I am on an NBA betting heater right now. I can't believe how good I'm betting on the NBA right now. It never happens to me like this.
Well, be careful.
I had the Bucks plus 2.5 against the Magic yesterday at home. I know people were like, that was the first game of the back-to-back there. And everybody, I think, that might not have been on, that was on League Pass. Sorry.
I was going to say, I don't remember that being on before.
That was not on League Pass. It was a big game though. That's why I felt like it was, because it was like, you're playing for the 2 spot, 3 uh-huh. spot. But everybody thought, you know, Giannis and Middleton are out, but the Bucks have actually shockingly been pretty good without Giannis. They beat the Clippers without Giannis and Middleton in March when the Clippers had Kawhi and everybody in there. You know, they actually seemed to, I think once they beat the Celtics the other night, maybe that kind of got their confidence going. And the Magic, what you see with them, bro, they're not ready to win a big game. They gotta grow. They gotta mature. You know, that was a huge game, high leverage game for them on the road. They were favorites, but they're not quite ready for that. And I think the same is true of Minnesota. Now they did not have Cat last night, and I do think he could have guarded Jokic conceivably a little better than Gobert. Gobert has nothing. Like, you got him out there 30 feet away from the basket. That ain't where he's supposed to be, right? He's getting made to look silly,
mm-hmm.
like worse than Kentucky basketball.
We're all right. We're still number one in defense. And that trade was laughed at, but it looks pretty good for Conley now.
No, it does.
I was one of those guys that said, what is he doing?
But I do think, you know, as I come away from that game feeling more – like strongly about Minnesota in terms of my opinion about them than I do the Nuggets still look spent to me. Like, they just have to exert so much damn energy to win these games.
Well, again, you got Jamal's on a minutes restriction.
He is.
That's part of it.
He is. That helps. I mean, that he's not having, you know,
my man Aaron Gordon was not
minutes.
Good last night, right?
Nope, he's not.
I tried to make him a big three the other day, and he didn't help me yet last night.
It's like a 2.5. You know, it is.
Now, he usually performs, though.
He does.
You know.
But I hit the Nuggets live minus 4.5 in that one.
Good for you.
And it got a little stupid at the end. They put Minot in. Minot hit a three. Then the,
he's playing?
Yeah. Well, he's
I didn't stick with it till the end.
Wendell Moore hit a three. Another dude hit a three. It was actually a blowout.
I can't believe you haven't talked about Christian Braun yet.
Oh, dude.
Brown. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I fell into the trap again.
I think
Christian Brown, spelled Braun, but pronounce it Brown.
Brad, I think this necessitates a 2-week suspension for Jason.
No. You know what's crazy is McNutt, like I was telling John, McNutt and Alan Hahn, Hahn had it wrong this morning on GetUp, too. They're still calling
Christian
him
Brown.
You want to call him Braun.
Yeah, it's
because of how
Braun,
it's spelled.
But it's not.
They
that.
Were calling him Braun, just like, and again, it got me. I'm sorry, yo.
That dude switched hands on a one hand dunk
because
on Gobert.
Because of the dunk on Gobert, he now deserves us all to get it right and make sure we have it right.
No doubt.
He switched hands on Gobert, dunked all over that man's
face. Opened the game up, right? I mean, that's when it was really over. Once that happened, I mean, it was just.
Then came down and got another one on like an alley oop.
Look, you would not know by the final score. That game was competitive. It was. I mean, the Timberwolves were leading, I think, by 7 in the third quarter. And, you know, Ant was getting to the foul line, but once the fourth quarter started, you know, Ant kind of didn't really have the same success, and they didn't get any good looks, and it just kind of got away from them real fast.
We need to have a Christian Brown.
There we go.
Mac McClung, white man, dunk off.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I get down with that. That's a very, we'll put it on.
That's real, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it'll
because
be,
I'm telling you, Christian Brown.
Yeah. Broadcasting live on OutKick.
Who's a more athletic white dude than Christian Brown right now? That can actually dunk on a brother. And dunk on a 7-foot something, bro.
I don't.
White dude.
I don't think.
He has those old Barry.
Right.
Which Barry was it that had the hops? Because only one of them did.
Oh, it was Brent.
Brent. Are you sure?
Yeah. It wasn't John.
Not Canyon.
No. Canyon? No.
Played it forward, bro. Don't slight Canyon.
No, it was Brent.
He was a good player.
Brent was in the dunk contest.
Brent had the hops. The rest of them did not.
Yeah.
You know, before his
But he
surgery.
Was up there for athletic white dudes, you know, back in the day. He was in dunk contests, obviously.
Yeah.
Pat Connaughton, when he first came in the league, had
Pat Connaughton had sick Irish hops.
He did.
Before,
he did.
Now, I think he had a he had surgery, and he's subsequently...
He sucks.
Yeah, he's like, having a rough go, bro.
So he no longer has those.
No, he
I don't think he's got that bunnies anymore.
No. Who has better hops than Christian Brown?
Can Hero dunk? I mean, he's an athlete.
But I don't think he's got the same hops as Christian Brown.
No, not like that.
He's he is an athlete, though. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. There's not many.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Braun is at Brown is at the top.
Can we?
No.
Hell no.
That's a brother. That's even worse than me trying to get Mahomes.
Sorry, I'm just trying to, you know, recruit.
Yeah, I mean, at least Mahomes sounds country. No, right. He sounds like he like hunts.
Sorry,
and stuff.
I'm trying.
Well, you know, I think you guys have got a winner here in Brown, but you really need to embrace him and realize what he is.
Yeah, Reed is not going to be above the rim, but Reed's athletic.
Shepard, yeah,
coming in. He won't again. He's not like that, but he is an athletic young guard. I mean, I think that's the only one we have though.
I'm surprised you haven't brought up your boy T.J. McConnell and put him in there since you brought Reed up. Reed, come on, man. Reed ain't above the rim.
No, he's not. I don't think.
I mean, we got white dudes winning dunk contests these days, two in a row. Amen. As a matter of fact, so we may as well throw a great white challenger out there to take down Mac.
Yeah, that's how y'all know it's the game's changing, for real. Like, you know, I know y'all feel like y'all have run it for so long, but
look what we're putting up in there.
I'm just saying,
Obi Toppin's brother. Dude. That's who we put in there.
Yeah,
we don't even know dude's name.
Jacob.
That's who we're putting up against.
Jacob, right?
Yeah. Now we did try Jalen, and hopefully Jalen's going to open the door.
Yeah.
To us really getting to it. It's like the Olympics, man. When our real guys weren't going over there. You understand what I'm saying?
The World Cup.
It took an ill.
Yeah.
And maybe these two losses to a white man in the dunk contest will be that for us. Jalen stepped up. Now he came up short.
Yeah, he did.
But we need Ant. We need Ja. We need y'all to answer the call. Okay? Because the day of these Mac McClung's and Christian Brown's
winning
our dunk contest needs to end. It's ridiculous. Mm. I grew up in a time where they made movies about y'all. Can't jump.
Yep.
Now they win in dunk contest. Took it from you.
Yep. By the way, the total on Mizuhara just got posted from Jeff Passan, more than $16 million. So four times what he was initially said to have lost on gambling, $16 million. I don't know if that's all gambling.
So he had access to Old Boy's accounts.
Clearly,
as I told you, you didn't believe that he might.
I didn't think so.
As his assistant and everything else, man, he did. He just was telling you, and that's just naive as dumb on the part of Shohei.
Bro, all of it was transferred from his account to the alleged illegal sports book, bro. This dude lost 16 M's on sports betting. 16
like soccer
million
stuff.
Dollars, bro.
He's bad at it.
I'm gonna be honest with you. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that. I mean,
we need to see him doing some hard time.
Unless he's betting $1 million a game, which, I mean, are you getting that? I mean, maybe. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Mm. That's $16 million, man. And dude has so much money that he didn't even
know. Oh, it's a drop.
He didn't even know. He didn't even feel it. That's insane.
He doesn't check. It's like you and Giannotto. Y'all don't check your accounts.
Well, I have to check it every now and then to make sure I'm not being defrauded or something. But, you know, I do notice if $16 ain't in there, like, where'd that $16 go, you know? $16 million? Yeah. Does this bank not say, hey, just a heads up, transfer $16 million? Just you authorize that, right? My bank calls me if my car gets swiped out of town. I hate it. It drives me crazy. I go to like Vegas or something, and I use my car there. Did you use his purchase? Yes or no?
I'm
like, I gotta call y'all when I leave the state.
Little money stuff,
you know.
This is big. You're a little truest account.
That's what
matter.
I'm saying. That's I get that with little money. Imagine if it was $16 million. How does a person who has that much money in their account not have that? You know, not have that protection. It irks me. Shohei should have that. You know, did not, and it cost him $16 million. I don't know how Shohei is going to financially recover from this very unfortunate situation.
I mean, money managers steal all the time.
They do.
Accountants and agents.
They really do.
Do you have a money manager?
No. Somebody like, you know, I go to. Advisor.
Oh, yeah, but you have a financial advisor.
Well, I mean, kind of. Okay. I mean, a little bit.
Okay.
But nothing like, you know.
Yeah, not like, not like Shohei. I mean, Shohei.
What you and Mark and Jeff got.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a financial advisor, bro. I'm my financial advisor. I advise myself. You know what I'm saying? 500 on the Nuggets minus 4.5 live. That's my financial advice.
Well, it sounds like Mark's wife is his advisor.
Yeah, she's bringing home the bacon.
Which is smart.
She's got the practice, you know. I mean, that's the way it goes. When you got the practice, you make the, you know, the calls. I tell my daughter all the time, I say, you don't call the shots. And you know what she says? I call the shots. That's what I'm dealing with right now. My kid is barking back at me, saying that she calls the shots.
Well, it's a little too early for that. You better put her in her place.
Oh, you come do it, bro. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how she...
You know black parents do it different.
Well,
y'all will put up with a lot more.
Oh, I mean, we do.
Oh, little Riley, please calm down. Please. You reasoning with her. You know, please calm down, Riley. You're giving me such a hard time.
It's negotiation. Oh. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to negotiate. That's not working right now. It's been a one-way negotiation. We'll say, hey, if you don't, we'll give you this if you do this. Does not matter. She's like, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to get what I want anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's running you guys.
Oh, it's great.
Wow.
Dude,
you've already lost control.
Dude,
don't let DJ see it or else he'll think he can get away. You better get it under control before he recognizes what the hell's going on.
Dude, we were driving to the store yesterday. And Riley's in the back seat, and she just says, out of the blue, I want a present. She expects a present at 3 years old, you know?
You need to have a talk with her, and that's where you shoot back her. You don't get a present every day, Riley.
We had to say that, you know, and she'll still ask for one today. And then we'll have to keep saying it every day. But, yeah, it's...
Sounds like somebody might need to get that tail whooped.
She has. It's happened.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's happened. No doubt. No, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it.
Who did it? Sam?
Sam did it. I got to get out that. I got to get that.
Come on.
I got to get that belt out like the Rock, huh?
Man, you better bring out the lightning.
I got to get out that belt.
What was Sam ain't doing nothing but tapping her with a little love tap.
Rock was a Rock.
That doesn't do the job for Riley. Riley laughs at that.
Rock pulled that belt out. He whipped Cody Rhodes. He said, "Get up, boy." That's what I'm going to have to do to Riley, huh? Get up, boy. Get your ass up, boy. Is that how it's going to have to be?
You better go out in the yard like Adrian Peterson. Get you a switch. Come on back in there with an attitude adjuster. That's what you say. This is my attitude adjuster, Riley.
That's right.
Now, you going to make me use it or not?
Now, that is old school. That is you know.
Get that switch.
Some people today would say that is abuse.
That's why they tried to get AP.
They did all day.
They tried to get Adrian. Say it was abuse.
Yeah.
Now, was he found guilty?
I don't remember. I don't remember how that happened. I don't remember how it all played out.
He might have hit a little too hard.
Yeah, I think he left a mark or something, you know.
Well,
like,
remember sometimes your ex and all that will say one thing.
Right. I remember at that time, though, I was like,
it was questionable.
Spanking and paddling are legal in the state of Tennessee, according to, this is in 2024.
Okay. Well,
it's legal.
Oh, yeah. Totally legal.
But it's like the perception of it, right? It's like the perception of you using that on your kids.
Yeah, I ain't got no worries about
the perception of it in Germantown.
Well, because
there ain't no perception
Memphis. If I tweeted right now, if I said, I spank my children when they don't listen to me, like, what do you think the reaction would be?
Yeah, I mean, anything you put on Twitter is
it's Twitter. It's social
that's
media.
That's different. The reality.
I know, but I'm just saying.
You will have people say you're a terrible person.
Oh, you can't. That's just so,
love. You need to raise with love.
Right, which we try to do. But at some point, isn't it on the onus of the child to reciprocate the love? Why don't you be raised with love? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you make that conscious decision?
You got to get the discipline first. Get that foundation set.
That's true. I mean, look, you got to learn. It's the reality. The real world is you're not always going to be told yes. You know, there's going to be some hard moments and some humbling moments. And it's hard to, like, convey that to a three-year-old who all she wants to do is get presents and eat ice cream, you know, which the majority of the time she does. She gets and does. But, you know, it's like the balance, right? The balance is I want to provide, I want to make her happy, and I want her to be happy, but also, like, understand that this is not how it works for, you know, the real world. You're not just going to get ice cream and cookies and but it's probably a little early to 3 years old to explain hard times like old Dusty Rhodes.
and the workers getting laid off at the car factory.
Better to be hard on her now than for her to be on Girls Gone Wild later.
Well, that doesn't have to be.
All right, so that, go ahead and set the foundation now and remember that book that Ren sent you.
Yeah, I don't, right, I don't think it's at
that's
3.
That's what I'm saying.
More like 8.
Set it now.
I think those conversations happen a little bit later than 3 years old.
I'm just saying, man.
You're not retaining information
like
at 3.
The time flies, as you've been putting.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you wake up and they're double digits, yeah, as mine is now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't remember anything my parents taught me at 3 years old, but it is a good exercise, you know, to try to start. But again, it's like a kid who got ice cream and candy doesn't mean she's going to be on Girls Gone Wild. Yeah, it's more like if she's not listening at 9 and 10, is she getting away with? Which the answer to that is going to be absolutely not, because now you're not. Now you're you're a socialized human being.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, she's just she doesn't know what she don't know.
Fence, bro.
But
put the fence up.
It's been a process, and it continues to be. So anyway, we'll come back. Mark Giannotto is going to join us. He has 3 children. Unbelievable. So we'll talk to him about that, get his thoughts on the Kentucky job and more. Jason and John, Audi China Fam, ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.